Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 274, part 2, the conclusion to Mount 3. Today is Sunday, January 6th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
You remember when you were a kid and you used to, before probably you were even saved, now I lay me down to sleep. And then your dad, help this brother and that sister, mom and dad and Uncle Fred and my dog and my frog and whatever. And you'd say that same prayer over and over religiously. Do you think God heard that prayer? I know he did. Huh? How many have said prayers like that? Just over and over and over again. Faithfully, you couldn't go to sleep until you said them. Then you'd forget somebody, and then you'd go back. Oh, P.S. On Agnes. Go to bed like that, just like you did. And say that prayer. God, I'm going to give you this day. I didn't do so well with it, but it's all going to turn to good, and I'm looking forward towards tomorrow. Good night. Thank you, Lord. And then when you wake up, pray something like this. Father, who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Don't eat yesterday's manna. It's moldy. Receive fresh bread for today. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. What does that mean? That means for that day. That means if it didn't work out the way you thought it would the other day, there's a new day coming and it's working out anyway. Well, someone just said on the radio, I just heard him. Who then can be comforted? Whose mourning ends in comfort? Tell me. Well, whatever your sorrow, whatever your burden, whatever your heartache, Walk towards Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And I found this to be true. Let him put in the pages. Let him write the mystery. Let him put in the characters. Let him decide the chapters and what order to put them in. First the suffering, the Bible says, and then the joy. Let him read the manuscript. Let him make the changes. Let him put it together. Let him bind it together. Let him glue it. Let him put the cover on. Let him give it life. Let him decide the plot and the ending. Because he'll always take us through, not over and not under, not around, but through battles, one page at a time. The Bible says, until we become the walking, talking epistles known and read of all men. Yeah? Well, how do I know this? Well, I could say because the Bible tells me so, which would be true. I always know that God is always caused to give us consolation, also to comfort and to victory. He always will give us that. How many can testify of that today? I can. I know there's people listening on the radio, even here today, that could stand right now and tell the blackest days of their life that they were turned around into roadways of real freedom through the riches, it says, of His grace. What looked like your defeat became your remaking. And then that rough road that you were traveling soon became smooth. You know what? And I know right now your confession would be that you wouldn't change not one single solitary little piece of that roadway. You wouldn't change any of those worst sorrows that you had for the greatest joys, like fame and money and beauty. There are things in my life, so-called sorrows, that, see, they were just the preempt to joy. And why is that? I believe because those terrible nights of agony and those terrible nights of tears led you to seek Jesus Christ in a new way that you never thought before. It got you seeking the Lord. But then that mourning that Jesus especially has in mind is mourning over sin. The Beatitude follows, I believe, close on the heels are, blessed are the poor in spirit. In other words, blessed is the man who knows he is not where he should be. And every one of us know we're not where we should be. And that's what keeps us going. Blessed, in other words, is a man with a sense of need. When you know that you have a need. The man I'm talking about who realizes that by himself he can do what? Nothing. But I think this beatitude goes just a little bit further, deeper, more true. It doesn't scrape the surface. It goes down in there. Blessed is the man who is not only conscious of his failure, but grieves over it, who realizes it, who takes it seriously. Well, yeah, but I don't have those kind of problems. There again, maybe, radio audience, I'm the only one. Maybe I'm all alone on this. And even though that there's a victory in your life, so-called, you don't stop there. You know where that you're not where you really should be. And that's the greatest thing, is when you know, have a sense of need. See, that's the whole crux of the whole problem. Sometimes we can slack off because a need was met. No, there's more. When we have a sense of need that we want to go on, that we want to grow. Blessed, I should say, is the man who is so grieved over his moral, spiritual poverty that he turns to God every day to supply his need. Sometimes we can get so high and so lofty and so puffed up. Oh, I don't have a need. Oh, the pin is coming. The stink is going to be let out of that puffed upness. And anyway, in that way we know of our spiritual poverty. It isn't worth anything unless it takes us to mourning. What good would it do the prodigal to realize he had gone haywire if the realization didn't make him grieve. He was tortured, it says in the Bible, by his own sin. He came to loathe eating with the hogs. He was sick of it. But so many times our poverty does not convict us. Our confessions are cold like some love letters. Maybe he wrote a letter like this. And think if he would have written a letter like this. Dear Father, I have sinned. I have spent my money on riotous living. I had wrong friends. Yes, I admit that, Father. But Father, you know, I don't want to change. I can't say, Father, I get convicted so much. See, Father, I love my sins. Yes, I do. I love them dearly. I hug them to my breast. It's the effects that bother me, Father. So send me more money, and I promise I'll tone down my sinning. Love, prodigal Paul. Prodigal Ted. Prodigal Emma. No, I think confessions must be mixed with hot tears of shame. But I think, and that's between you and God. You don't have to lay down on the floor and make a spectacle out of yourself. A lot of times we do that just so be seen a man anyway. You know what I mean? Repentance is just simply turning around and say, I have failed. The Bible says, yeah, I agree with you. I wrote that. All have failed and come short of the glory of God. If any man say he be without sin, there's a liar and there's no truth in him. Now let's go on. Don't you appreciate your child when he comes and says, I really messed up. What'd you do? Oh, I really hate to even tell you. Oh, go ahead and tell me. Oh, okay. I cut the hose in half. Ever happened to you? Now, the father really loves that when the boy admits it, even though it is a stupid thing to do. See, not only are those blessed who mourn for their own sins, but there is a blessing and comfort for those who mourn over the sins of others. And so you can see how bad this son feels, and you start to pick up his mourning. And you can just see, you're just so ashamed of doing such a stupid thing, and he's sort of kind of walking around looking up like a dog through his eyebrows, you know. Huh. Sort of looking real down and everything, you know, and he doesn't know which way to go. And he's all nervous and sweaty, and his palms are sweaty like little kids get, you know. Oh, boy. Oh, well, that's all right. Did I ever tell you about the time that, you start telling about the time you did some dumb thing like scratching your initials in the grand piano or something? Seemed like a good thing to do at the time. I said, why did you do it? Who knows? The point is, the kid was mourning, and now the father picks up a mourning with him, and that's just the way the father is with us. When we're mourning over something we've done, and we have the right kind of mourning, it isn't for a condemnation thing, it's that God picks up that mourning with you. That's the kind of mourning I'm talking about. Jesus was that kind of mourner. The Beatitudes describe the attitudes of the kingdom children. But they also, listen very carefully, they also describe the attitudes of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. It describes his very character. Himself took on our infirmities and bare our sorrows. So blessed again is the man that shares like Jesus the pain and sorrows of this perverted and sad and mixed up world. Blessed is a man that picks up on the mourning of that alcoholic and that prostitute and that person besieged with AIDS. Blessed is a man that picks up on the mourning of TV personalities that as of late have really... the devil has made an open show of them. Blessed are you when you mourn for them. As of late, I've been waking up thinking about, I don't know, every once in a while, not every day, but every once in a while, I think of Gary Hart. And I just, I don't know, maybe it's because I got a magazine with him on it, on the table. But I mean, maybe it's God reminding me to pray for him. I don't know. I'm not going to try to get hyper-spiritual on you or anything like that. Ooh, no. But I look and I just get up, or sometimes before I even get that table, I think, somebody should pray for this guy. Somebody should just say, hey, it's all right. Go on. Or maybe somebody should pray for the president. Maybe they should mourn with the president. Mourn, like I was saying, mourn for this guy. What's his name? Singleton? Is it Singleton? Mourn for that guy. For that guy? Yeah. How did he get into that? One step at a time. It's just an opportunity to be more Christ-like. That's all it is. It's an opportunity to pick up on that spirit of redemption. Blessed is the man, and let me close it up. Blessed is the man that enters into fellowship of his suffering. Blessed is the man who says, Jesus, show me someone to mourn over and to suffer for. And let me also, Lord, suffer for the joy that is before me. The joy of free drunks. The joy of liberated drug addicts. The joy of those that were once lost but now are found. Blessed is the man who carries another's burden and cries out. Then I wonder if anyone has ever even mentioned salvation to this poor creature, Singleton. I wonder if anybody has ever ministered. Does it look like it? Well, there's too much controversy going on right now in the Christian world, so we just better pull back and don't minister gospel, because they might think we're some kind of weirdos, but we'll come out of the woodwork later on about 10 years from now. Who says? Who says that the gospel's hindered? The only hindrance to the gospel of Jesus Christ is when we don't preach it. It's more powerful than any two-edged sword. And it will do what it's supposed to do. It will not come back void and spent and fall to the ground. I don't care what's going on. Blessed is the man who carries another man's burden and cries out, I will gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more I love, the less I be loved. The very words of Jesus. I will gladly spend and be spent for you. Now that's all sinners that have done all things. Even those that pierced him. I will gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more I love, the less I be loved. Don't think that when you go ahead with a great amount of mercy and a great amount of forgiveness and a great amount of just dedication going on. Not that you won't have your down days. Not that you won't have your arguing days. But that when you do have them, you're reminded to be mourning over that so that there is a gradual, if you will, change. And so the more we grow in love, the more we will be hated, the Bible says. The more we will be misunderstood and the more we will be persecuted. Well, what's that? What is the outcome of such mourning? Well, those, the Bible says, Smarty Pants, that just asked that question on the radio, is that they will be comforted, consoled, and not only that, they will be strengthened. And I think this is also true of those that mourn over their own sin. Self-righteousness being the very worst. I think the outcome is reconciliation with God. I mean, when we mourn over and recognize our own un-Christ-likeness, His full pardon, His full, complete grace, much love, peace like a river. Isaiah 6 and 5 says, woe is he who cries out miserably, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. Well, the world says, don't take it so hard, fella. Just forget it. No big deal. They have pity on him. Don't you pity. I'll give you a warning. Don't pity someone that's crying out like that. He is at the door of a very great truth, a new dawn, a truth that will set him totally free. And next it says in the Bible, a live coal is laid upon his lips, and a voice says, lo, this man has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Amen. Are you hearing this? His mourning was a door to his comfort. Are you mourning today? Yep, you were mourning a little bit today over some little thing, right? But don't you see that's your door? Don't you see that you're entering in with Jesus mourning for someone? And don't you see that you're going to get comfort out of this thing? It's going to lead you someplace. It's going to give you joy. It's going to give you consolation, and it's going to give you a great amount of peace. God will console you, see, because you've entered into his mourning. Whew. I never even started in my own walk to get free till I recognized my own wretchedness, my own unrighteousness, my own filthy rags, my own black heart, my own sin nature. And I'll say it, I've said it many times, my repentance really started, the most of my repentance, and I'm still repenting all the time because I have a spirit of repentance that makes me repent before I even do things. So most times I don't listen. But that repentance, I did more of that after my salvation. See, because then I knew how wretched, how unrighteous, how filthy ragged, how black-hearted, and how sin-natured I was. And I'm still dying daily. Is there anybody that can... Well, I'm not dying daily. Well, the Bible says I die daily. Look at Paul. He got saved, the Bible says. And then he took a course on self-improvement. And he only got worse. He cries out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me of this body of death? Even today, people stare at others with a dumb spirit and say, poor fellow, he takes it too seriously. Hey, don't pity him. He's about to discover the power and the love and the mercy and the peace and the grace and the joy and the control of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is being circumcised from the legal end of it. He is being circumcised, separated, severed, cut away from the law. Who shall deliver me? Now he came out of the law. And this is Paul. Who shall deliver me? He cried it out. He's tried every law. He's tried every self-help. Talking of Paul. He's tried every mental exercise. He's tried every doctrine. He's tried every holding chain. He's looked for every loophole. He sat in the desert. It says in the original Greek, if you read into Paul's life there, and he sat in the desert for almost 2 years trying to get right. And so he finally gave up. Who shall deliver me, he cries. And God will, and God does, he finds out. Now, maybe you're at the end of your rope. Maybe you're listening on the radio. I'm at the end of my rope. Well, good, let go. Trust in God, Jehovah Eagle, to whoosh, swoop down just before you hit the bottom of the canyon floor and lift you up. How's he going to do that? He does it through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. As the man thinketh, so also is he. You want to think condemned? Well, then that's what you are, condemned. I mean, experientially. Remember, the mourning must be mourning over sin and not over the consequences. Well, why is it we always have to suffer the consequences? A person called me on the phone. I don't understand. Why do I always have to suffer the consequences? Because I said, you got caught. I said, because every action, good or bad, has a reaction. You act against God, you'll certainly get a reaction. So just give up, I said. Give up. Give in before you wear yourself out. Can I minister for about 2 more minutes? Can you stay here for 2 more minutes? I want to mention 2 sinners here. Maybe I can bring this in the Old Testament, bring it to light here, and sort of clear up something maybe that you've been thinking about. Saul and David. Saul, I believe, sinned even deeper than David. Saul confessed his sin the same as David did. He confessed in the Bible, I believe, more than any other man in the whole of the Bible. And I think that he was definitely, Saul I'm speaking of, definitely a mourner. But you know, the only reason he mourned was because his sin put him in such miserable circumstances. He never learned to hate sin. He never confessed his sin till he was in a jam. But look at David. He was a desperate sinner, and oh, how he suffered. Read the Psalms. His heart became a desert. His mind became fevered. He says that he wet his couch down every night, and at last he fell before God's feet. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out all my transgressions. Create in me, he goes on, within me a clean heart, O God. Deliver me from blood guiltness. And so his heart was broken over what he had done, over and over and over again, this man sinned. And then his tears turned to music. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Two more people, Peter and Judas. Peter, because of his cowardice, I believe, committed a sin close to what Judas did. But you see, the difference is that Peter realized it. It broke his heart, and he wept his way back to the cross. Jesus then gave him lambs to feed. Now we have Judas, and he also mourned, didn't he? But there was no grief, no real grief there. His mourning brought to him a noose. And it's the same way with Jesus. Here's Jesus weeping over a city. He came to save the city. He ministered to the heedless, hating all of these different things, hating all the sin, hating it all, but yet that what he hated, he took on himself. What a beautiful message. Blessed be God. Listen to this. Listen to what he has to say. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies, God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation. Paul really had it down. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all tribulation, all tribulation. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth in Christ. The greater, he's saying, the suffering, Paul says, the greater the comfort. The more we mourn after this fashion, I should say, the more dead we become to self, and the more alive we become to God. Are you therefore mourning? Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they, for they shall be comforted. Find somebody to mourn after. Maybe it's yourself. But mourn because of that situation. Take it to the Lord. Mourn over someone else and have that right type of mourning. Did you get something out of this message today? Well, I think you were going through the very same thing, right? And that's what the Word is for, to bring you peace, to bring you tranquility, to bring you into understanding that, hey, you don't have to be in the dumps. It's up to you. There is a redemptive and a beautiful type of mourning, the same mourning that Jesus has for others. It's no big hangdog thing. No, you can look out there. I love this ministry down here. You know why I love this ministry down here? There's so much to not moan and groan about, but mourn about. But first that mourning, and then there's a gladness. First the suffering, the Bible says, and then the joy. When you see people redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you mourn with them like Jesus mourns with them, and you take on that same spirit. Well, then you have the same joy that Jesus has in seeing this person brought back, even though sometimes it doesn't look like it's happening. Even though sometimes you go down, you're in the hobo run down there, oh, what good is it down here with these guys? Well, there's a lot of good in being down there with those guys. You know why? Jesus is mourning over me, and there's nobody else that will go down there. Isn't that pretty sad? There's no one that really cares. I remember going down there, it was like 20 below wind chill down there. Not that that's a great big thing. It was nothing. But these guys were out there with no blankets. And these guys running up, and their fingers were, and they had gloves with holes in them and everything. Can I have two? I got to get one for my buddy. I got to get one for Muddy. And the guy says, hey, you better be sure that they're getting it. I said, I really don't care. There's 200 blankets here. I mean, if he doesn't get it for his buddy, well, then he's got it for himself. I mean, you know what I mean? I'm not going to nitpick. I got a nice warm bed to go home to. In fact, David, I have to open the window up because it's too warm in there. You know what I mean? Oh, it's so hot in here. Oh, it's terrible, huh? Oh, my throat's so dry. I mean, you can have something to a fruit drink or whatever you want at night, you know. And, oh, you feel kind of hungry. You can throw on a steak if you want to, or hamburger if you can't afford steak or chicken or whatever you have there. But I mean, you can, you know what I mean? And these guys are out there and, I wonder if that guy really deserved two blankets. Ooh, huh? It's just ridiculous how people get. They just get so ridiculous, even when they're doing the Lord's work. Yes? And they just get real hard-line. Ooh, hate that. Hate that. You know what I mean? Not that there isn't discipline and not there is an order, because where there is an order, there's disorder. But I mean, you know, but that sometimes you just have to let the Spirit lead you. You know what I mean? Huh? Here's a guy come up and he looked all over the place and he grabbed a blanket and he was trying to grab it out of this pile, you know, out of the, like the middle of the pile. And they had so packed together. And I thought, well, I'm just going to turn my back on this one, see? So I turned my back and I act like I was talking. And the wind was howling. They couldn't even hear me. I was talking to somebody that there was nobody over there. Okay, I'll bring him over then. And looking back, yeah. I thought that guy would never get that blanket out. I pretty near froze right there until that guy got that blanket out of there. But he got it out of there. Now you have to turn your back. Being down in this ministry down here, you don't want to see everything. You want to be, I saw that. Nothing gets past my eye. Huh? Oh, who are you, Captain Hook? Har, har, har. Huh? Lord, just bless this audience and the radio audience today. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. What a message. What a message from the throne room of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for that mourning that brings comfort, not only to ourselves, but to others. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. 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 Do we have anybody here that can sing today? If you can't sing, don't get up, though. Chuck?
That was episode 274. That was part two, the conclusion to Mount 3. Be sure to join us every week for Pastor Paul's podcast. Friday is part one. Sunday is part two. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're going to find the show notes and scripture links. Have a great week. Join us next Friday, Mount 4. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. Gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Be a construction worker. working on a home. Might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray, you may call me anything, no matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.